That's the piano of Bob Mamet, who will be playing Tuesday at the Jazz Showcase. That's from a CD called London House Blues. Bob is the younger brother of David Mamet, one of Chicago's finest writers. Another of Chicago's finest writers is my guest. And we were just talking about how it's virtually impossible that we haven't met until tonight because we have about a million people in common. Sean Chifflett's second novel is titled Hey Liberal. It is set in the Lincoln Park neighborhood in Chicago in like the late 60s. It is my era. It is my time. This book was so evocative to me. I have to ask you, Sean, this has the feel. I know it's your second novel, but this has the feel of a first novel. Not because there's anything unaccomplished about it. It's a very accomplished book, but it's a kind of coming-of-age tale that I would think maybe you've been writing it for a long time.
No, a long time.
Oh, you have?
It's actually...
My instincts
really,
are right.
That's incredible. Yes. Yeah. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on.
Oh, but, sure.
Yeah, I started it when I was actually very young and just looking for something to... I was behind in my class assignments at Columbia College Chicago, and I said, I need some pages. And so on a lark, I started to write some of these chapters. That would be about 1974 or 5, you know, pretty young.
That's a long novel, yeah, a long time in coming.
Tell me about
the process, though. I mean, the process, you did these first pages, and then you put them away, or you... I mean, it's obviously something that has stayed with you for decades now.
Yeah, it was a story that I stumbled on. I stumbled on my first, what is actually, you've correctly called it the second novel, was the first one published.
Mm-hmm.
And I stumbled on that story, too. But in class, I wrote a couple chapters, a couple scenes. And there's an exercise we do after. First of all, everyone thought it was very funny, and I was so close to the story, I wasn't much older than the protagonist. I thought this is deadly serious, and everyone started cracking up laughing half the time. So that was interesting to know. But there's an exercise that John Schultz, who was the teacher, always did at the end, which said, who wrote that? They withhold the name. And they guessed everyone, every African-American male in the room, then every female African-American, and then every white woman, which I still don't get.
And
then
finally,
someone looked around. There was a
small
pause.
Sean's left.
They didn't. They just said, no one else is here. It was a very invisible moment, which was completely empowering to me.
No kidding.
Yeah, and then I was hooked at that point. Then I had to learn the skill
sure.
of how to write a novel, because I really wasn't a writer as a kid. I was a jock. I played baseball.
Yeah.
So I stumbled on this. And then to get back to that success of something that good took a long time, and finally I had to leave it, go to the next novel, come back to it. So, yeah, it's been germinating for a
there
long time.
There is a great deal of baseball in the book. I don't want to read a lot of the book because I want to talk to Sean, but listen to this. You know, Simon continued and slowly sat down on the couch again, the first time my dad took me to Wrigley Field, I was 7. For some reason, I thought it was going to look black and white, the same as on TV, but geez, the outfield grass was so green and the infield dirt looked like gold dust, and there was all that thick ivy on the outfield walls. If there is not a kid out there, now a man of a certain age, who does not say, oh my God, that's exactly the way I felt, that's exactly the way I felt too.
Yeah.
You grew up, and this novel is... this is a tricky question always.
Sure.
I mean, it is, you know, the whole write what you know kind of theory of of fiction. This is based a lot in your own life, yes?
Yes. Yes, I would say it's inspired, though it does definitely take a fictional jump, and I never lie to people about that. You have to get an arc of a plotted story, really all you get in – if you're lucky, is a situation that was highly dramatic, and then you've got to shape the arc of it, and that causes, you know, to make the leap into fiction. That's an advantage of being not nonfiction.
You didn't have to invent, though, on any level, the setting for this book,
no.
Especially the time setting.
Yes.
Talk to me about that.
Well, 68 is just such a pinnacle watershed year, and when I started to really get into all the things that had happened, it's probably probably the worst time for a white kid to do something like this in a high school. But it's it was also just something in the news every second, the assassination of Martin Luther King. A few months later, the assassination of Bobby Kennedy. That's just the man on the moon the next year.
Democratic convention.
Invasion of the Russians, invasion of Soviet Union, invasion of Czechoslovakia. It was just like something every day was just, you know, shattering news was happening.
And I think the genius of this book is you obviously have the same kind of memory, I can't articulate as well as you do in the book, of these burgeoning, if this is the right phrase, these burgeoning tensions between white and black Chicago. Mm-hmm.
Well, I have friends...
Burgeoning... No, you go ahead.
I have friends who went to Waller, just started a few years before, and
which
said,
you call Dexter.
Yeah, I call it... I just changed
it. No, I know. That's fine.
But I went to Waller, which is now Lincoln Park High, which is now, ironically, one of the best high schools in the state. I think that's pretty funny. And I'm glad they've done such a great job with it. But... I'll have a couple friends who are just a year or two older than me say, I didn't have that much of a problem. But the real demarcation line is after the assassination of Martin. It's like a different world at the school, even while these people are in the school together. So if you're a freshman, you're having a totally different experience than if you're a senior where you've had some friends, you've got...
You found your way.
Right. But not... It was really different and... the tensions just were through the roof. We had, you know, riots that went. We didn't even mention that as one of the things that happened in 68.
Well, even the way the book starts, in Dexter High's modern wing, located on the north end of the block, a white boy named James Jeffrey came to his study hall class held in the auditorium due to student overcrowding with a loaded 22 caliber rifle tucked under his trench coat.
That's true.
I know that's true.
Yeah.
I know that's
and
true.
It's also.
I know you're a writing professor now. I mean, you would give whoever wrote that an A, would you not? Come on, Sean.
I don't know.
Yeah.
No comment. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rick.
It's kind of as we say in the newspaper, it's a very, very catchy lead. Structuring the book, the people in here, Sean Shiflett, and again, the name of the book is Hey Liberal. Is this you on the cover?
That's me. That's my Waller yearbook picture.
Very cute picture. Waller was, at the time, your class, certainly, mostly African-American?
Mostly. And we had a huge Latino, Hispanic population. I think it had been, Waller was in the 30%, 35% white. They had a major race riots the year before I went there. But when I became a freshman, it went down to 13, like just overnight. So it was predominantly black.
It was important to your parents, the parents of Simon here, to go to a school like Waller.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I have a sister who went, we're all 3 years apart. My first sister went to Sin, and you could go to any high school you wanted. But the year I started high school, or the year before, I can't remember which, is when the desegregation plan went into effect, and you had to go to the high school in your district.
Mm-hmm.
So I was either that or you go to Lane, which was then was a vocational school.
Right.
A little bit strict. My parents weren't into that. They were activists. So at the last second, my name was being called in the classes there, and they said, no, you're going to go to Waller. Because they just didn't want me to go someplace that was that. They considered it almost, and this was a little bit not true, but it was strict. Too military.
Yeah,
and it was all boys. They wanted me to. They didn't want me to be with all boys. They wanted me to be around girls and have a normal.
Was all boys.
My other sister went to Francis Parker, so we're all in the same house.
Yeah,
and she's in France. And sometimes, maybe one of my friends would get a scholarship to go there. So I'd see a Mexican friend. It was like he was being airlifted out of my world. I went to Arnold, which was across the street.
Yeah,
it was an upper grade
sure.
Over to Parker, and I suddenly see him hanging out with her friends who are very refined.
Of course, and live in very nice homes.
They look very confident.
And
I would just watch this kid turn into one of these preps. It was wild to watch.
My guest is Sean Shilver. We're talking about his second novel, Hey, Liberal. The first novel was called Hidden Place, but this novel's been a long time in coming, and I think in many, many ways, like a fine wine, that was for the best, because I think, you know, had you tried to bang this out, Sean, when you were in your 20s, it would not be the powerful book it is today. And I think there are a lot of, we got to take a little break, but I also think there are a lot of things in this book that echo loudly in contemporary Chicago, as messy as messy and sad as that is. Again, Bob Mamet will be at the Jazz Showcase this Tuesday night playing That Kind of Piano. Sean Shiflett's book, Hey Liberal, his novel with a cute picture of him, his Waller days. He calls it Dexter High in the book, and eventually his little 14-year-old Simon Fleming does wind up going to Senn and then winds up going somewhere else. Another chapter, I could read the whole, I just read a little about baseball here. The Maxwell Street chapter is, there's great writing throughout this book, but this is too a lovely, lovely piece of writing.
Oh, thank you.
Was this book, it is alternately, I think, fun, incisive. It deals with race in a way that we're still dealing with race. I mean, to put it bluntly, don't
this
you think?
This is the closest I felt the kind of tensions. It's not as tense.
Yeah.
It is, believe it or not, as tense as it was in 68, but it's as close as I've felt it. And it's this again. It's kind of a heavy heart, I say that.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
And there are other people say, what do you mean again? What's changed? You know, so it really depends on your point of view. But right now, it does feel like
what is one of the things for Simon is he is I think he does make friends. The book is undeniably humorous. There's some complicated relationships for this kid.
Mm-hmm.
Not that every relationship at 14 is not complicated. His you know who really got me, Sean? This what's the name of the officer Clark, the cop in school, is kind of a down and dirty racist, isn't he?
Yes. Okay, yeah, he is.
Yeah, I didn't mean to put it that bluntly.
I think he has some dimension within that characteristic.
I agree.
He's definitely someone who looks at Dexter as his territory. He wants people to behave his way. And he's bound and determined to single-handedly, by the force of his own character, try to make that happen.
Yeah, and unable to. And there's another a former gang member is now, you know, so the whole notion of black power, which was certainly, you do a great job, because where I went to high school, there was no black power movement. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of the seeds of black power were just kind of being planted in kids who were 14 at mm-hmm. the time. True.
Yeah.
And so your character, Clyde, is just, he's kind of realizing this, right?
Well, it was once King was shot dead, and it was happening a little bit before that.
Mm-hmm.
He was very much in a power struggle with whether his movement was the one that was going to prevail, or more so the earlier teachings of Malcolm X. And mm-hmm. these were the two different, to some people in the city, King, frankly, was looked at as a hick.
Sure.
And so at this point, though, he's definitely was out of favor. I think he would have survived that long term because
I do too, yeah.
As a leader, he had such long term vision. And but here, the Black Power movement is much more in vogue. And you would be hard pressed to find someone to say, yeah, let's go out and sing We Shall Overcome. I mean, it was looked at as pretty passe. So his father, he can't even really talk about him, who he was involved in the civil rights movement, because people just go, that's just a lot of white guilt. That's all that is.
Yeah.
So he's out of favor. This has happened almost overnight.
But
there's a lot,
you know, what I get out of the book, Hey, Liberal, is this. he, Simon, is not quite naive. He is kind of very much the son of his parents who's mm-hmm. trying to make his way in the world. There's a that's why it's not so much to me a real coming of age novel, and it is, mm-hmm. but it's a journey. His journey just in this 1 year is just fascinating to me. You must feel that too.
Yeah.
That's simply put.
Yeah, I do. I actually went to
the
school.
Confronted with a lot of things that make his mind, the wheels of his mind turn.
Well, he's actually, there's some, you know, good things that happen, bad things that happen. But he's actually very attracted to black culture. When he's alone in his room, or the way he will try to imitate, you know, not always so well, but he's
right.
He's very black music. I mean, he can't. His sister is playing Joni Mitchell in her room on the guitar, and he just makes fun of her.
Yeah.
And he actually says, "Stop playing that honky music." you know, things like that. He's just he's exposed to something he hasn't been exposed to in a way that's he's in culture shock, but at the same time, he's absorbing it.
Yeah.
At the same time.
I mean, I think that there are anybody who grew up in the 60s in Chicago.
Can I just say I feel bad about that statement because Joni Mitchell was great music. But in the book,
hey,
he thinks.
This isn't a nonfiction book. This isn't the real you.
I felt bad when he said that about her,
Joni Mitchell.
She's a great
That's your character.
Yeah.
That's not you, Sean Shiflett. That's your character. That is Simon Fleming. That is Simon Fleming.
All right.
Your parents have been what's the pub date of the book? It's just been published, right?
September 1st, but it's already there. It's out, but September 1st is
again,
the official.
Again, Liberal, you find it where you find it. There are bookstores. You can walk in a bookstore and ask for it, but you can go on Amazon and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Your parents, both of whom I know, hugely influential in your life, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I didn't know you knew them until I walked in here.
Yeah. Your dad was a what kind of Presbyterian minister, because I'm like, I have no religion. What do I know? But I also know that he co-founded the Body Politic.
Correct.
And with a wonderful guy who I knew very well named Bill Russo.
Mm-hmm.
And Sills and Bill Russo and mm-hmm. James Shiflett founded that place. And your mom, Betty, has been a part of my life for a long time.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
How so? I'll interview you.
I'd see her at bar. I'd see her at readings.
Right.
I mean, Betty is like...
Oh, right. Okay.
I'd
the literary
always,
scene.
I'd
right.
always see her on the literary scene. You come from great stock. How's the... Have you gotten any reviews yet?
Got a good review from Kirkus. I got a great review from New City Lit, which was just fabulous.
That's
great.
That was
took me back.
Is it like never having written a novel? I've written a lot of books, but never a novel. Is it... anxious when it goes out there? Are you anxious when it goes out there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. You're anxious. Because you're really at... Once it's out of your hand...
Especially one that is this close mm-hmm. to life and times and heart and head of Sean Shiflett.
I would tell you that reviews don't matter, but they do.
Yeah. So, well, it's also a wicked publishing business out here. This is published by Chicago Review, or is it Academy? The Academy imprint.
Academy Chicago. And then,
Academy Jordan Miller, Jordan and
right,
his wife.
Right,
nice
and they
people.
Selected the book and then promptly retired. So I was actually an orphan. My manuscript and the Chicago Review press people, Cynthia Sherry and those folks, they took really good care of me. They took the project on and they inherited it. So it's just been passed, but all these people played an important part of getting this book out.
Joe Mano, who has been on this show a couple
Mino,
times,
Joe
and
Mino.
a talented talent. I always say, every time he's on, I go, is it Mano or Mino? Every single time he's been on. He said, Hey Liberal is an arresting coming-of-age story presenting an entirely singular perspective on race and politics during the turbulent late 60s, utilizing satire, pathos, and humor. Simon's story is engaging as it is challenging. I'll let it go at that, Sean. It is
Thanks.
A pleasure,
Thank you, Rick.
Pleasure to meet you.
Thanks for having
I'm
me
stunned we've never met
well,
before.
Well, now we have, so we're good.
Yes, now we're good. Yeah. Do you have any readings coming up?
I have a launch reading. It's open to the public at the Greenhouse Theater on Lincoln Avenue, and you can go to seanshiflett.com. I have one at the bookstall, one at 57th Street Books. So there's one at Oakbrook, Barnes & Noble, Oakbrook Mall. So just go to seanshiflett.com, and you can see the list of different events.
That's S-H-A-W-N. And Aleph will put all this on the website, so I don't have to spell it, and you don't have to fall out of bed getting a pencil. Sean,
thank you.
Great success with
Thanks.
The book. Best of your folks.
Enjoyed it.
We'll take a little break and be back and carry on.